Welcome in. Nice. Well, today on this very program, we are going to have the top four Valentine songs according to allmusic.com. We have Chick on the Street. Katie's in. She's going to two locations to spread the word. We're going to meet Brett Gelman, very funny man, and the most tweeted television shows. Plus, we've got Andy's Capsule and Gina's Trending. Plus, we have a dog that allegedly says, I love you. All will be revealed. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in. Mark in the Morning, Andy Chanley, Gina Grad, Danny Mizrahi. Today, this program will reveal a woman sucked up by her own vacuum cleaner, snooping women, who is sexting? You may be surprised. Do you want to be a porn star? If so, there is a television show that's going to help you. Sex is making a guy sick. And then, of course, the dog that says, I love you. And I'm going to warn you that when I play it, the dog is cute. It's the husband and wife that are so annoying you want to slap someone. I'm just saying.
Suspense.
Snow.
And boy, did it. The folks in Boston can't seem to catch a break. Yesterday, the city was hit yet again with the third storm in 2 weeks. The snowpack is 37 inches deep.
So is this proof that God also hates the Patriots?
Other records were also shattered. The city has gotten more than 69 inches of snow over the last 30 days. Here is Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
We now have the snowest month on record, beating the 1978 record of the most snow on the ground in Boston's ever seen. Right now, upwards of 6 feet in some parts of the neighborhood.
I love hearing Boston accents.
Some parts.
It is very endearing.
It's wicked high. Era.
Even when they're How talking about a national disaster, it's endearing.
My son went to the Berklee School of Music in Boston for 2 years, and it is without question the worst drivers I have ever experienced in my life.
Wait, and you lived in L.A. how long?
21.
Whoa. Wow.
No. Listen, no comparison. They just don't care. They're going. They don't care what right away. They just don't care. They just go.
It's the big dig, eh?
Well, and you know, the snow problem they're having, the biggest problem they're having is they literally have nowhere to put the snow. It's piling up as high as street signs. There's nowhere to put it.
They have snow melters. I heard that they've melted 19,000 tons of snow.
That's crazy talk, Andy.
It is crazy talk.
In our Bruce Jenner section.
I didn't know we had a Bruce Jenner section.
We didn't, but we do now, because there's two. See, when you have more than one story, that's just a story. But when you have two.
That's a section.
That's a section. Here we go. Bruce handed over his cell phone information to cops to prove he was not texting during the crash this weekend. Police said his cooperation means a search warrant will not be necessary. Bruce shouldn't have anything to worry about. TMZ says an independent photo agency was at the scene immediately before the crash and snapped a photograph of him holding a cigarette, not a cell phone.
Now, according to another news outlet, I heard that there was only one person tested at the scene, given a field sobriety test, and it was Bruce Jenner, and that he passed it. But it's there was unclear as to what led cops to want to reportedly give him.
Well, he was the last one in the crash, and therefore he caused the woman to be pushed into oncoming traffic. So I think he was the one that they were most worried about.
I see.
Since he was the last in that whole chain reaction.
The way I'm hearing it, it clearly sounds like he was not at fault in this crash.
Well, yeah, and they're still trying to figure out why did this first car stop in the middle of traffic anyway? That's what they still have to figure out.
Right. And Bruce Jenner's family is fuming over Kris Jenner's claim that she had no idea Bruce wanted to become a woman. Kris commented last week that she was shocked to learn of Bruce's transition and that in 22 years of marriage, she never had any idea that he was considering this. Bruce's sons say Chris is full of it. According to TMZ, they say that Chris has known for years that Bruce, quote, had issues with his sexual identity and wanted to transition. But the reality TV star wanted to say anything. He didn't want to say anything because he thought it would hurt the brand.
And, you know, that just doesn't speak very highly for Chris, because it means one of two things. Either she's lying, or she is so entrenched in the goings-on of her children and trying to make them famous that she totally forgot she had a husband.
Right. Maybe she was just covering for him and saying, okay, this isn't my news to divulge. I'm going to lie and say I didn't know anything about it and let him be the one that says, you know, I need to make a change in myself. But this whole thing just makes my tummy feel icky. Well, it's that it's all playing out on television, and they're only satisfied if it is playing out on that national stage.
But like you said at the beginning, if she would have said, this isn't my news to divulge, that's what Kim did. That's what Kim Kardashian said. It's not for me to say. It's for him to say. Chris said, oh, wait, woman, what? He who now?
Right.
Who are we talking about?
Well, the two things we know from the past 2 days. Number one, Bruce Jenner is obviously going to become a woman on national television, on the national stage, and Kanye West is a tool.
True story.
Two facts.
Here's a guy. Okay. Here's a guy. I don't know why I started doing John Madden there for just saying. This guy has to cut it out. This guy who stands up and makes speeches about authenticity and artistry. This is somebody who can't sing in public without auto-tune.
True. But don't worry, Andy, because all of your vengeance is in the right place and you will feel justified during the trending report.
Oh,
and
good.
I will leave it at that.
Later on, we're going to give you the top 10 television shows that people were tweeting during and about. But right now, it's Boss Skaggs time. It's 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. 100.3 The Sound, Boss Skaggs, who I love. Had him on the program. Low-key guy. Really, really low-key, but couldn't be nicer.
Oh, I bet he's a great dude. And he's talking about being around. I mean, he's been, buddies with Steve Miller for decades and decades. They were friends from, high school?
Yep. Good dude. Hope we all get to meet him. We'll have him on the show.
Well, let's do it. On this show?
This show right here. After I've become best friends with that Laker guy. What's his name?
Swaggy P.
Oh.
Swaggy P.
And Byron Scott.
What up, this Nick? Swaggy P. Young, Los Angeles Lakers. What up, Mark? How you feeling, man? Welcome back to the hood.
Thank you.
Yeah, boy, that's no good. Good to see you later, all right? All right, big dog.
We've got to get him in.
Sure.
And after him.
Mark, this is Byron Scott. Want to welcome you back to L.A. Be good to hear your voice on the radio again.
Thank you, Byron.
Are you as surprised by this as we are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because when I first got the Byron Scott call sent to me by Josh, I thought to myself, now I've heard that name before.
Right.
And then I thought, he used to be the head coach for the Lakers. No, he is the current head coach for the Lakers.
Wow.
At least you have the good sense to be thoroughly surprised that these people care about you.
Yes, but Swaggy P, I will not stop until we have met him on this program. I will not stop. So let it be known, let it be heard, let it be said, Swaggy P is going to be on this program.
And the day he is, the show officially changes its name to Big Dog in the Morning.
Can I got dibs on the cowbell. Can I hit the cowbell?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And there's no bigger fan of the Lakers than Danny. I would have to imagine, Danny, this has been a tough season for you so far.
It is. But it's always good to look forward to next season and look ahead.
Aww.
Now, in a minute, I'm a Panther fan, so I know exactly what you mean. In a minute, we're going to learn about Andy's wife's birth. But I want you to let's get to know Danny a little bit. Hey, Danny, explain to everybody, like, let's say your wife says, order some pizza for delivery. You make the phone call, right?
No, I prefer not to.
You prefer not to make the phone call?
I want nothing to do with it other than saying, I want a mushroom pie.
Okay, so the call is made and the pizza has arrived. There is a ringing at the door. What do you do?
I get up and I run to the other room so they don't see me.
Okay, guys, this you haven't even heard it yet. Okay, Danny, when the doorbell rings and the pizza is there, you go into another room and shut the door. Explain to us all why you do that.
I mean, there's no explanation. I know I'm not the only one out there.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell there.
A little defensive.
All right, why do you go to another room and shut the door?
I don't want the pizza guy to see me. I don't want him to put a face to the pizza.
Wait. I am so baffled right now.
Wait.
I'm telling you, I'm not the only one. We're going to get calls on this, and people
no,
are going to...
No, we're not.
Trust me. Trust me. All you listeners out there that have pizza guy phobias or whatever, call up right now. No, let's talk.
We're going to get a call from Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Is what we're going to get.
No, we're going to get a call from Domino's.
You need to have a come to Jesus.
So it was explained to me that you're just bothered by the fact that the pizza guy will know what you're having for dinner.
That and also the tip idea and all that. You know, like when I'm at a restaurant, I'll leave the tip and then I'll get out of there before they even come collect it just so they don't have to, you know, put a face to the tip, basically. They
is it because you're under-tipping?
I'm not under-tipping.
Would you like to be proud and be like, here's $5? That's right. Danny Mizrahi did that.
Well, I don't believe in 15% tipping for delivery.
Never mind.
Wait.
Whoa.
So you have a problem with the whole delivery system, with someone delivering a pizza to your door. And knowing what you're eating and having that exchange at your home, is that what you're saying?
It's just one of those things, man. I mean, we've all got something, don't we?
All right, now, before I get to another tipping point, I'll get to this. Let's say that you have called in an order and you're going to go in and pick it up.
Oh, okay.
There is the thought that you should tip just for the people that prepared your food. Other people say, no, they didn't deliver it. They didn't bring it to my table. I don't leave a tip. Where are you on this, Danny?
I'm mixed. You know, I'm conflicted by that because sometimes I like the tip, but tipping 15% for a pickup is just absurd.
Agreed.
Yeah, so maybe like I'll do like a couple bucks here and there, like, you know, $5 or something like
that's
that.
Very nice.
Or sometimes just nothing, you know?
All right.
Depending on the mood you're in.
Yeah.
Now, you're like a king.
Now, I will say this. This is one of those Danny-isms that when he said it, it actually made sense, and it never had crossed my mind. Let's say you're at a birthday party. They light the candles on the cake, and the birthday person makes their wish and blows out the candles. Danny will not have a piece of that cake. Explain why.
It's basically someone spitting all over the whole cake.
Yeah.
And here, have a slice of my spit. Happy birthday. I think not.
Now, I have to say, as much as I laughed when I heard that, I stopped mid-laughter and realized I think he's got a point.
He's got a point, especially during cold and flu season.
Right. And if you really want to see it, go to like an old age home where the spit is very prominent.
Viscousy.
Yeah. And have a slice of that.
But, you know, Danny, you're not any better off at a children's birthday because they are really spitting on the cake.
But the thing about the old folks' home is they've got a lot more candles, and it requires
a
lot more sputum to get it.
I like the new way that birthday cakes are kind of formed. It's actually like cupcakes. So it's like one birthday cake together, and then it breaks off into like little cupcakes. And to me, that's like that's fair and more hygienic.
So, Danny, if you were absolutely gunned to your head, trapped in a situation, and they said the only way out is to have a piece of this spitty birthday cake or to go answer the door when the pizza guy gets here, what would you be less terrified of?
Wow. That's wow. Wow.
There's no way out.
There's no way out.
This is the only way out.
Life or death?
Yes. Don't say death.
This is great. It's like the age-old question. If you were buried up to your neck in a barrel of cow dung, and someone threw a bucket of chicken dung at your head, would you duck?
Well, this is the saddest fear factor ever. Birthday cake or pizza, Danny?
Danny, before you answer, let's bring Dennis from Riverside in. He is a pizza delivery guy.
Oh, great.
Now, Danny, are you okay to talk to him?
I might be a little nervous, but you know, it's not face-to-face, so.
All right, so, Dennis, you heard what Danny said. Have you ever experienced anything like that before?
No, not really. I actually don't deliver now, but I did for about 20 years when I went through a divorce and had two babies. Wow. I delivered so I could get diapers and formula, you know. Wow. But
absolutely,
the most important thing, basically, to the pizza guys, me working in the business for all those years, was basically, you know, the people that usually give you about 2 cents tip, keep the change, and they smile like, that's a great tip. Was like, really, okay, you know, you try to, like, avoid taking that delivery. You sort of remember that address and give it to the next guy in line, you know?
Well,
and
then, Dennis, you got a great laugh. So, know, Danny, I mean, what is it? You're going to eat the spit cake, or are you going to open the door for the delivery guy? We need your answer right now.
Probably delivery guy, but I... Dennis, what's an appropriate tip for a pizza delivery guy?
Well, okay, see, the store usually gives you a dollar. They give you a bank, right, like $15 bank. And every time you take a pizza out of the store and you go on a delivery, you get 50 cents for that, for taking it there. And then basically you get 50 cents for coming back. So you get about a dollar each time.
Is it 1940?
Yeah.
50 cents.
Usually most people give about $2, but like if you go to schools and offices, you usually get some. I've gotten $100 tips before.
Whoa.
Wow!
So like at big places where I took like 30 pizzas, 10 2-liter bottles of Sierra Mist, and 20 orders of wings. You know what I mean? And that's a big order.
So Dennis, it does, for most people, it goes by the amount you're bringing.
Yeah, like if I'm bringing it, you know, the special 2 larges. 2 toppings, order of wings, order of breadsticks, and a 2-liter bottle of soda.
That sounds amazing.
She's about $25.65. And usually you would want to get up, you know, between $3 and $5 for that. Because you gotta remember, you're paying for gas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Basically, you want your food hot, you know. I got really popular because I always gave a lot of Parmesan cheese and hot peppers. Other drivers don't do. They're stingy, they're lazy, you know what I mean? And they don't give them to, and I give them to everybody, even the people that gave me 2 cents.
You're like, that's a Santa Claus.
Well, Dennis, listen, we're going to cut you short. Jackie's going to pick up and give you something directly out of the booty box, okay?
Oh, awesome.
Oh, can
we
I
appreciate
pick it?
Your
can
call.
I pick it?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? This man, again, I'm saying, these men deserve to be pampered, and this guy has worked very, very hard for at least 20 years. So you know what, Dennis? You're going to Burke Williams. $100 gift card to the Burke Williams Day Spa.
That's
give
awesome.
The gift of true love with a spa package from Burke Williams. You deserve it, my dear.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for the call, Dennis. When we come back, we're going to jump into the top 10 television shows that people are texting during. Andy's Capsule is coming up, plus Chick on the Street. Katie will join us momentarily. Stick around. It's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Okay, welcome back in. Mark in the Morning. Katie has arrived. Chick on the Street. She's about to head out. Katie, how you doing?
I'm so good. Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Good morning. Now, stay focused, because when we come back, we're going to talk it through. You have not one but two appearances today, and we're taking the second step with this.
Okay.
We'll completely discuss it. Corey's here, right?
I haven't checked in with him, but I would assume that he is. He is always on time and ready.
Okay, great. So Chick on the Street heads out today. We're taking it to the second phase. We'll completely talk it through. Plus, the top 10 television shows that people are tweeting about. Lover Boy.
Yes. Oh, you weren't talking to me. I'm sorry. It's an honest mistake.
Well, as you can tell, Katie's in. And Katie, today we got two stops. And first, we're going to become a little more proactive. Now, normally, and you're still going to do this at Starbucks, you're going to go in and do your speech and announce that, you know, we're doing the morning show on the Sound. But we're going to send you to a gas station. You're going to find somebody who's pumping their gas. And you're going to approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you're going to get them to tune their car radio to 100.3 The Sound.
Now, Dad, when you're at a gas station filling up, what's the last thing you want to happen?
Somebody to come mess with me.
All right. Well, that's what I'll be doing.
But I say we go further. I say you make sure you watch them do it and then have them lock it in on their radio.
There's no other way. It must be locked. I need it not. I need it on the first station. I don't need it locked in.
You know what, though? I was so afraid that he was going to go, let's go further. You get in their car and refuse to get out.
That's what I was thinking. He's going to make me get in these people's cars now.
Well, listen, as much as I would love to hear that, that, as your father, that would make me uncomfortable. Because what if they sped off and were without a chick on the street?
Right.
We'd be down one chick on the street. That's the problem.
I love that was part of his worry there. Then what would we do for chick on the street?
Look, let's be honest. I mean, I've got two other kids, so I'm good to go.
That's why you have more than one.
But and then you're going to go to Starbucks and you're going to do the speech.
I'm so, I was thinking that I was done with that speech, but I'm so happy we're bringing it back.
No, it's not until we have achieved my evil plan of Katie taking over the entire world that we will be done with that speech.
Then I'm going to have it forever.
And speaking of that, Katie is going to be starring in The Bold and the Beautiful soon. It's later in February. What is it? February what?
I want to say 26th or 27th, and I wouldn't say starring.
No. Go with me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What is the line that you have? Say the line.
Oh my goodness!
I remember it.
I do too.
I'll check on that. Yeah. I'll check on that. Oh nice. Lord, I can't even remember it. It's only been a month.
Well, with that kind of line load, how could you be expected to remember?
That's right. All right. So now, what do y'all want to hear? I've got the dog that says I love you with the two annoying parents, and then I've got the top 10 television shows that people are tweeting during. Choose
that one. The second one.
Okay. Here we go. The top 10 television shows people are tweeting during this past week. Number 10, WWE Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Wrestling fans have got to chat about it. Number 9,
Are they chatting about that show, or is it that it's so stultifyingly boring that they're chatting about other things?
Oh, Andy, you clearly don't get the world of professional wrestling.
I clearly don't.
I divulged to Andy this morning, I've been to at least a dozen cage matches, Battle Royale, WWF events, and I promise they're tweeting about it.
I'm from Indiana, right? It's the cradle of professional wrestling. Dick the Bruiser, back in the 60s and 70s. Dick
name.
The Bruiser?
That's a name?
Oh, yeah. Dick the Bruiser was the godfather of wrestling.
Andy, it actually shocks me the depth of your idiocy.
Yeah.
Wrestling is huge. Okay. It's as big as NASCAR.
I understand that. Okay. But you're trying to tell me that the people that appreciate that also know how to work an electronic device?
Yes, Andy. They know how to put something in 140 characters. They sure do.
They know how to barely cipher in the dirt with a stick.
All of your emails to go right to Andy Chandley.
You are going to rue the day that you've done this. His name is Andy Chandley. His home number is 213.
Yep. Oh, God.
All right. So they're also tweeting number 9 during Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. It's handled.
Number 8, the British Academy Film Awards 2015.
Huh.
Sunday number night. 7, Empire. I've not seen it, but I hear good stuff.
Uh-huh, me too.
Number 6, the NAACP Image Awards. Mm-hmm. Number 5, my wife is all about it, Scandal.
It cracks me up. Mm-hmm.
Does she tweet during it? Does she get on the chat?
No.
Does she run around the house saying it's handled and I'll take care of it?
If she does, I don't know about it.
Okay.
Number 4, Better Call Saul.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
It had a huge debut.
Yes!
If you just joined us, these are the top 10 television shows people are tweeting about. Number 3, The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by far, do you want to guess? It was this last week.
Oh, well, then it was the Grammy Awards.
13,432 tweets during the Grammy Awards. By far, number one. Wow. Nothing even close.
I fell asleep during the Grammys. I wasn't tweeting.
Ratings were down on it as well.
It was slow, no?
It's hard for me to... I didn't see the whole thing. I thought the performances were pretty good. I'm not the biggest Grammy fan, but like the Academy Awards, I don't miss a second.
It was slow to me.
Okay. All the performances to me were slow.
You didn't like SNL alum Kristen Wiig dancing to Chandelier?
Bizarrely awesome. I don't really get the whole chandelier interpretive dance thing.
You don't have to. You just have to bask in its weirdness.
I mean, I enjoy that she did it, but she's running around in a wig and a suit.
Yes, Katie.
Sia?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No. Do you?
Do you know why?
I do.
Tell us.
It's because she's like 50 and she's not very good looking.
Wait, is that why she was facing a wall the whole time?
Yeah.
Andy, you're having a really great break here today.
You're such a naysayer, Andy.
She's not attractive. I mean, not unattractive, but she's not a 22-year-old Ariana Grande, for example. So I think that maybe that's part of the mystique of it. So people won't look at her and say, wow, you look like you're ancient and have been doing this since the 70s, which Sia has.
So what you're saying is true. You're not fooling me.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you just joined us, we've learned that Andy hates wrestling and all who are involved in it, and he thinks Sia is a huge, ugly person.
I did not say that.
And Andy, if that was true, do you know how many men in the music industry should be singing with their back to us?
Yes. Most of them.
Nice. Mark in the Morning, welcome back in. If you just joined us, we've learned that Andy hates wrestlers and he hates old fat women.
Come on.
He's such a prize.
Listen to him. Come on. Let's talk about Johnny Depp, shall we?
I have never told anyone what I'm about to tell you, but I really want this job. I like to dress in women's clothing.
You're a fruit?
No, not at all. I love women. Wearing their clothes makes me feel closer to them.
Johnny Depp and Amber Heard exchanged vows yesterday in front of a very small gathering of close friends and family on the actor's private island in the Bahamas. One day I want to say that. I want to say I'm going to have a party at my private island in the Bahamas.
I really hope you do, because that means I get to go to it.
Matthew started a rumor that I was going to buy a yacht. Amy was petrified that I was going to spend all of our money before I die, and she gets it. Katie, however, thought it was hysterical that I would buy a yacht, which, by the way, I'm not.
I say go for it, because we can go yachting.
Well, they always say you don't know how many friends you have until you buy a boat.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I tell my kids this. I am going to be on my deathbed. And I'm going to be on Amazon spending every dime that I have so that they get nothing.
Dad, no. I want to put it into like an account for children, college, something. Don't spend it all.
Not, no. Get out there and get a job. The couple, Johnny and Amber, the couple had already gotten legally married earlier in the week at their home in Los Angeles, hosted about 24 guests for this private ceremony and a small reception. This is Depp's second marriage. He was married to Lori Ann Allison for 2 years in the 80s, and then he had two kids with French actress-singer Vanessa Paradis, whom he never married. This is the first marriage for Heard. Am I incorrect, or did this thing happen quick?
Well, it happened quick to us. Who knows how long they've been doing their thing in secret.
Yeah. I want to marry Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I think there's a line forming right behind me. But, you know, he used to have a tattoo of Winona Ryder because they were together forever. Like in the early 90s? And then when they broke up, it said Winona forever and he changed it to Wino forever.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, nice.
You got to get creative.
It's interesting how he played the field for so long and then Mordecai came out and stiffed. And then he wants to hitch up.
Yeah. I think he's a romantic. I think he falls really hard in love, and then it kind of cools off for him. But I think he's a romantic. So hopefully this thing will work for him, and they'll be married forever in two days.
I like that.
Well, now, why do you say we get into find out what's happening in the world of classic rock? Here is Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Hey, he did it.
Woo! Thank you.
It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Color me surprised. All right, step aside. It's opening up. Classic Rock Time Capsule for Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. It's Beatles Week on the Time Capsule. Second week of February. Epic for Beatles history. 48 years ago today, they're in the studio recording the crescendo for A Day in the Life. And George Martin assembles a 40-piece orchestra. The Beatles invite Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Donovan, Mike Nesmith, and others to watch them all go from the lowest note on their instruments to the highest on their instruments over 20 bars, creating total cacophony. Oh, and they're wearing gorilla paws and rabbit ears while they play the thing. And I'm not going to play the piano note just to drive you absolutely nuts.
It's like shaving a haircut.
Today in 1974, Phil Spector crashes his car while driving from L.A. to Phoenix. He's so badly messed up, he needs plastic surgery. He becomes a bit of a recluse after that, only coming out to kill people.
Hey, I want to go back. The crescendo on Day in the Life. How did Mike Nesmith get in that crowd?
I don't know. Man, he's the ugly stepsister at that party, isn't he?
Hey, I'm a monkey.
Well, maybe everybody in the orchestra was dressing up like a gorillas and so forth, and he just fit in somehow. From the At First You Don't Succeed file, Dire Straits, they released their first single, Sultan's a Swing, May of 1978. It totally stiffs, as they say in the biz, doesn't even chart. Then, today in 1979, they release it again. This time, it goes to number 4 on the Billboard charts.
Got me some air guitar going.
Oh, so good.
That's some doodly-doodly right there. Doodly-doodly-doodly-doodly. This one here is for Mark. Today in 1976, Memphis police make Elvis Presley an honorary captain.
Wow.
I think that calls for a little Pinkard in Bowden, if you don't mind.
Oh, now Elvis was an ark in rhinestones after dark. He did his best to keep Memphis drug-free. He knew every pill he'd eat would be one less on the street. Elvis took them all for you and me.
Well, the official cause of death 18 months later, arrhythmia. No drugs. You believe that, Mark?
That's crap. The guy, I mean, it's just... Hey, by the way, he had a thing for badges.
Right.
He really wanted to be a cop.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He got a nickel-plated pistol from Nixon, right?
Yes. Yeah, he took it into the White House. The idiot, you can't give the president a gun. They took it from him.
That's awesome. Awesome. And finally, this date, 1978, Van Halen released their debut album.
Yeah! Let's rock, bitches!
So good. Yeah, one magazine's called it the 7th greatest guitar rock album of all time, and you're not going to get me to disagree with you. It's time for us to close up the time capsule and see if we can maybe roll out some Van Halen in their honor. This is the time capsule. I'm Mark in the Morning. You're listening to Southern California's Classic Rock, 100.3, The Sound.
You know, I think a lot of you found out what I've known for a long time, and that's how completely funny Billy Bob is.
He's the best.
He is hysterical, and it's not shtick. It's not like he's getting ready to go up
right
at the improv and you know, 5 strong minutes. That's just the way he thinks, and that is awesome. By the way, real quick, yesterday we had Rex Lynn on the program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have Rex and Billy Bob on at the same time and have a little game show called Who's More Folksy?
There would be a kinetic explosion if those two guys got in the same room. Just around the corner is Gina's Trending. Chick on the Street is out and about. But let me share, before we rock the dump, let me share one of my guilty pleasures, and that is Stupid Criminals. I love this too much. A California man dug himself into a huge hole after police found 28 grams of meth stuffed inside his butt.
Oh.
Police say 24. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so many other places you can put it, but that's where he went. Police say 24-year-old Jimmy Ontiveros was a passenger in a car. They got pulled over. He was taken into custody for an undisclosed probation violation. While he was being booked, they found a small amount of drugs in his sock, and then a more thorough search revealed 28 grams of it.
Whoa.
Stuffed up his butt.
You know what? Of all the jobs you can have in law enforcement. Oh, come on. No. No.
Where did I put that? Hang on. There it is.
This is a dog eating from yesterday. It's important to know that.
Just a little bit of kibble, everybody.
It's important to know that. Mark.
Oh, too good.
Oh.
Well, what do you say we rock it up? Ladies and gentlemen, the band that my wife calls the Balloon People, because she has a block on the name Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Because they put the Hindenburg on the cover of, was it four?
No, one.
One. Here they are. Led Zeppelin on the sound. Southern California's classic rock. If you got a question or a comment, call and speak to the lovely Jackie. Jackie, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
The phone number for Jackie is 888-696-1003. Chick on the Street is just around the corner. But I did want to throw another shout out to my buddy Patrick out there at Bristol Farms. He came out and helped us with so many occasions. He brought food to the rehearsal for John Waite. Mm-hmm. He brought food down on Friday for everybody to eat. So look, it doesn't matter what your occasion is. If you're lazy and you don't want to cook, Patrick at Bristol Farms take care of it. You can order what you want. You can pick it up. Either way you want to go. He's a good dude. You tell him Mark in the Morning sent you. And now, let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina.
All right, here's what's going on online this morning. Remember the tantrum Kanye West threw at the MTV Video Music Awards a few years back when yes. Taylor Swift won over Beyonce? And then remember the tantrum he almost threw at the Grammys on Sunday when Beck won over Beyonce? Well, garbage frontwoman Shirley Manson is having none of it. And said so on her Facebook page. She posted a comment directed at West saying that his actions make him look, quote, small and petty and spoiled. Manson went on to say that in attempting to reduce the importance of one great talent over another, you make a mockery of all musicians and music from every genre, including your own. She ended it begging the rapper to, quote, grow up and stop throwing your toys around. You're making yourself look like a complete expletive.
Yeah, you can't say that word. I was wondering, is she going to say that word? Am I going to have to press the button? And
Never.
By the way, I love how she says spoilt.
Spoilt. Well, spoilt. She's, is she Scottish, I believe?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Love her.
So unless you want to scar your children for life, please do me a favor. Do not bring them to the Bristol Zoo in the United Kingdom. In the past few weeks alone, and in this is horrible. Just giving you a warning. You might want to just cover the little one's ears. An endangered litter of piglets has been eaten alive by their father.
Oh. Bummer.
Parrots have gotten loose in the city, one still at large, and now a rare golden lion tamarin monkey has drowned before being eaten by a group of otters.
Wow.
A spokesperson for the British and Irish Association of Zoos and Aquariums told local newspapers that the organization was, quote, extremely proud of the zoo's standard and track record in keeping and protecting animals. Okay. This one's for everyone who's excited about the 50 Shades of Grey movie and... also, for everyone who's not, the director revealed in an interview recently that she has already signed on to direct the sequel of the BDSM-heavy chick flick. No word if the sequel will be called 51 Shades of Grey or not.
I have no doubt that the movie is going to be a gigantic hit, but I just don't see how... Look, it was starkly exciting as a book. There's no way they can convey that to film. I think it's going to make a bunch of money, but critics are going to hate it.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if this is a rumor that's just supposed to fuel the fire or if it's true, but the word around town is the two leads in the movie hate each other in real life.
Too, so that's too bad.
That's a little more fun. That's a little more reason to go see the movie. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
Nice. All right, now, do you want to be a porn star?
Why
I'm
not?
Asking you, Andy, Gina, sure. There is a
not
reality.
Again.
There is a reality television show that is going to help you do that. Plus, Chick on the Street. We're moving to level two, DEFCON level two, with Chick on the Street. That's around the corner. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Hey, baby, how you doing? In what might be the greatest television show ever made of all time, like ever, a group of contestants are getting together and will be filmed trying to break through into the porn industry. The Sex Factor is a reality television show that hopes to find the next porn star by having them audition by having sex on camera. It's actually got some star power already, as Wall Street intern Paige Jennings has committed to the project. The Sex Factor features 8 men, 8 women competing for a $1 million prize and a 3-year porn contract. The contestants all have no porn experience, they have had sex on camera for the first time during the audition process. The judges include adult stars Tori Black, Lexi Bell, Remy LaCroix, and Kieran Lee, who is famous for insuring his man tackle with Lloyd's of London for $1 million.
So, wait, it's called The Sex Factor?
Correct.
That's fantastic. That's,
I think the title might be the best part of the show.
Yeah. Now, I don't know exactly where this is going to air. I don't know really how far they can go. But would you watch it?
Yes. I'm just going to, I will be the first one to break through this door and say, absolutely, this is appointment viewing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would check it out. If it's well made, then I would be entertained by the whole process.
Yeah, and you know, you can basically win a job now in any industry. Why not this one?
Absolutely. Just around the corner, Katie is moving to DEFCON Level 2. We are going to find her at a gas station talking people into adding 100.3 The Sound to their radio. But right now, we got you some Santana, and it's on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. Nice, Santana. That song taught me the word Koya. There's all kinds of weird things inside that song that I love and admire.
But do you have to say it like Danny?
Yeah. Koya? What was
no?
What was that? No. I told you.
Yeah, these guys are really entertaining. It's just because Danny is so Danny.
He's the best.
Yeah, on the Mark and Brian program, Danny is, he likes to bond with dudes. He thinks that dudes should get together and bond. And so he and a guy that worked on the program, Frank, every morning they decided to get together at 8:30 and have a little bit of food and bond.
Aww.
So Danny had told him they're going to get hummus, which is bordering on gay. If you find yourself consuming hummus, it's kind of weird. And so Danny had told him to get pita. And Frank, not understanding, he went and got just a loaf of bread. And so they're standing there, and Danny is beside himself with the fact that there's Wonder Bread. And that was when the quote said, I told you, pita.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat to meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
Yes.
It's gonna be a hit. A big, big hit.
We're moving it to DEFCON 2. Katie, we think, is on location at a gas station. Katie, are you with us? That's never good.
Yeah, I don't think she can hear us right now. We can hear her, but she can't hear us.
Well, since Katie's not there, I think I'll pull down the Katie music.
But it's so upbeat and lovely.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I always
Sissy
enjoy when
and Buffy and Jody and yes. Mr. French and Uncle Bill.
Well, which I realize now, you speak as though you actually saw the show.
Oh, my gosh. Family Affair?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched it all the time. And it mentioned, it name-checked a city in my home state of Indiana.
Okay.
Terre Haute, Indiana. That's where they went back to see the in-laws or whatever.
This is coming from somebody who watches Jeopardy religiously. Andy, how old are you?
I mean,
really, Family Affair?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Sort of.
It was always in reruns.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it when, it was actually, the late 60s when it was on?
Yeah, Family Affair, the thing that sticks with me is that, first of all, the guy is an architect and they're wealthy. They live in a high-rise apartment in New York City. And it was the first time I ever saw two front doors where the doorknobs were in the middle of
right.
the door.
It's very fancy, yeah.
It really was, and that stuck
doors.
With me. I thought, that's crazy. Look at that. That's nuts.
You will never be successful until you have two doors with the handle in the middle.
It's very Italian, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know any Italians, and I don't want to. They're not to be trusted. They're beady. You know what I'm saying? Italians. Beady eyes.
Shifty.
I
think that's
that.
A better word.
Is that?
Huh?
Is that right?
Andy's just astonished that you're...
I'm just taking notes.
Yeah.
Now, look, you go ahead and have your fun, you wrestle hater, you old fat woman hater.
Yeah.
Oh, so Italians you have a problem with, but...
If Sia ever got in the ring at a cage match, Andy's head would explode.
It is time for On This Day in History. Yes, today is Umbrella Day. I don't know why. How is it somebody got that in, but it is officially Umbrella Day. And it was also on this day that the very first singing telegram was introduced in New York City in 1933.
Singing telegram for Larry.
singing telegram for Larry. That's right, Larry. I have a singing telegram just for you.
We'll do it.
Well, hello, Larry. Yes, hello, Larry. It's so nice to sing this song for your birthday. You've lost your youth, Larry. That's the truth, Larry. No use crying, no denying what I'm trying to say. I see your hair.
I can't take anymore.
Yes. People pay for that, do they?
Oh. Enjoy it.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
It was on this day in 1971, Carole King releases Tapestry on the day after her birthday. The album spins off the number one single, It's Too Late, and will go on to win a Grammy Award for the coveted Album of the Year.
And Andy, a question about Carole
yes.
King.
Yes.
Now, this is a sub question. A, she is the voice behind You're So Vain, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
No, wait.
No, Carly Simon.
No, that's Carly Simon.
Oh, thanks. Can I still ask my question?
Yeah, go ahead.
About James Taylor?
That's the word. There was an auction recently where Carly Simon, for the biggest bidder, she would whisper into the ear of that person who paid the most money, the person that it was about.
Oh, wow. And they take a blood oath, I'm sure, after that.
Yeah.
But I mean, isn't the prevailing myth that it was about David Geffen?
See?
I heard Mick Jagger.
No, Mick Jagger sings background on You're So Vain. But I think it's actually about David Geffen. But this album, Tapestry, if I'm not mistaken, this held the... You know how... Dark Side of the Moon held the record for like 8, 9, 10, whatever it was years, 14 years. It was on the Billboard Top 200 chart.
Yep.
It stayed on for the most consecutive weeks. I think the album that held the record before that was Tapestry.
Wow.
Huge.
It's a pretty great record if you've never actually sat down and listened to it. It really is a talented lady doing what she does best.
If you can't sleep, it's a great one.
Wow.
That seemed like a very backhanded compliment.
All right, Gina, jot this down.
Sure.
Wrestlers, old fat women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and on the other side of the paper, put Italians and...
Italians and Katie.
Yeah.
We have got to find out where Katie is, which we'll do, and a very funny man, Brett Gelman, is momentarily. But let me tell you about our buddies down at Pro Flowers. Guys, it is Valentine's. Don't screw this up. If you do, then there'll be hell to pay because we warned you. The offer from ProFlowers.com is one dozen red roses with a free glass vase for only $29.99. Or, really impressive, an upgrade to two dozen red roses and an elegant ruby vase for just $19.99 more. You just go to ProFlowers.com and use our code THESOUND. ProFlowers is quick, easy delivery, and Valentine's Day delivery is guaranteed if you act right now. You simply go to ProFlowers.com. You click on the blue mic in the top right corner, and you type in THE SOUND. That, again, is ProFlowers.com. You click on the mic, you type in the code THE SOUND. Order today because this deal expires tomorrow night at midnight. I would assume that's me. Welcome back. We're trying to figure out the technical issues with Katie. She is in location, ready to go, and as soon as we get that done, we'll bring her up for you.
You know what? I hear her. I wonder if she can hear me.
I can hear you.
Sweet!
When a plan comes together.
All right, Katie, are you in place?
But I don't hear the show.
I feel like I can see, but what's my name?
All right, so we'll get all those details worked out.
Is that okay?
No, Katie. Probably not. Probably.
We'll get it worked out.
We'll work on
Plus,
it.
The very funny Brett Gelman is sitting right next to us. We'll come back with that momentarily and find out what he's up to. Right now, let's do some U2 on Southern California's Classic Rock, 100.3 The Sound. Good morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome in. It's funny in that whatever can go wrong will go wrong. For some reason, in the entire building, we have lost the ability to hear anything in Q. and there are engineers working on it. That's why Katie can't hear us, but we're working on it, and we'll get it done. By the way, later in the 8 o'clock hour, the top four Valentine songs of all time, and I'll tell you, while I was researching it, there are some bizarre ones, and I chose to go with bizarre.
Oh, good.
Goody.
And I'm just letting you know, before I even start it, don't mess with me, because I didn't write the list.
I feel like Andy's going to have a problem with it.
It's going to be one of those lists.
Yeah. I'm just telling you right now, I don't want to hear from you. We welcome in the very funny Brett Gelman. Brett, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Really good, man. Now, I love the name, the way this was described. I don't know if it was a typo or if that's the way it is, but it's Dinner with Family with Brett Gelman and Brett Gelman's Family.
Yeah, that's right. That's not a typo. That's not a typo. We like a lot of words. Big fan of words, and especially the repetition of words, you know?
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So again, Dinner with Family with Brett Gelman and Brett Gelman's Family.
Yeah, I just love my name. What can I say? It's just great. I'm a narcissist, you know?
Now, tell us exactly what this is going to be. I'm assuming dinner.
Yeah, it's invite my parents I surprise them with a 40th anniversary show where they are my dinner guests, and during the dinner I perform a play that's based on my childhood, and then Tony Roberts and Patti LuPone play my parents.
Oh no.
So it's them playing my parents for my parents. And
the very fact that you got Patti LuPone involved is sort of
amazing. I don't know how I did that.
That's
I don't
a big
know
get.
How she legend, you know, Broadway legend. And I don't know how he did that. I know that it wasn't totally for money. She saw something in the script. What can I say?
Wow. You
know?
Now, this premieres Friday, February 13th, this coming Friday at 12:30 in the morning.
That's right. I mean, those are those Adult Swim hours that blow people's minds. But they actually, they get a lot of viewers during that time.
Who says that? Who says 12:30 in the morning?
That's right.
It's midnight. You know? It's midnight 30.
Isn't that where like the legendary Too Many Cooks first got their start?
Yeah, I mean, that's at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, the witching hour is between like midnight and 5.
That's what DVRs are for.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I love though, Brett Gelman
for every show.
Brett Gelman. If you're unfamiliar with his work, you actually probably aren't. Maybe just the name, but some of the greatest shows to ever be on television: Drunk History, The Office,
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Of course, the Funny or Die presents videos on the Funny or Die website. What I love is if you look at the descriptions of the roles that you played, there are things like, let's see, eccentric, wealthy but unstable, slow-witted. It seems like there is somewhat of a common thread through some of the characters.
Yeah,
that
they
you
pull
play.
Me out of the mental institution, and then they throw me on a set, I come here to promote what I've done on the set. But I do live in a padded cell because I am mentally deficient.
Well, it sounds like casting directors are looking for a certain thing out of you. When
I guess
they bring you in.
I've been told I don't give off a very normal energy. So
yeah. I can vouch for that. Yeah, I think they're right about that.
Yeah.
Now, are you still actively doing stand-up?
I mean, I do certain shows now and then. I wouldn't go so far as even to say, to disrespect real stand-ups, to say that I ever truly was doing stand-up. I would do, like, a lot of different shows at, like, bars and theaters. But I was never really hitting the clubs, you know, all that much. I've done, like, I mean, I probably can count the amount of times that I've done an actual real set at a club that wasn't at, like, 4 in the afternoon, like, on one hand.
Right.
But I am going to be opening up for Hannibal Buress in Pomona on the 28th. He just asked me, so I'm friends with a lot of stand-ups.
And you do love a good heckler, do you not?
I love a good heckler.
You're
it's
not
such
terrified
a wonderful chance
you
to take
suck.
To get anger out of my system by tearing them apart. However, there is like a part in some venues, though, you know, you get scared that maybe you'll be killed or be hurt,
which is never good.
No, that's not good.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Brett Gelman. Brett, stay where you are. We're going to rock. When we come back, we're going to hopefully have Katie. But if not, we'll get that fixed and eventually move to DEFCON 2. But right now, Cars on Mark in the Morning. 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. Well, you can't control the technical. There is a glitch, and there's no need to get into what or why or where, but Katie can't hear us. We can hear her. So we're going to abort and come back tomorrow.
You know what, though, Mark? That could be a good segment, just listening in on Katie. Of course, Andy has to be ready with the delay, but it could be a nice little break.
No, trust me, it would be very, very funny and really entertaining, but being that it would be illegal, and then Katie could sue me, how weird would that be?
I tune in for that.
So Brett Gelman is joining us.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul is off to a great start for AMC. The Breaking Bad spinoff garnered 6.9 million viewers Sunday night, setting a new record for a cable series premiere. Did anybody see it?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've been anticipating this since there was first word of it. I'm so glad it's off to a good start.
Now,
yeah,
are you excited? Now, are you guys Breaking Bad fans?
Yeah,
I'm a big
Brett,
Breaking Bad fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the ugly girl at the prom here. I watched one episode of Breaking Bad.
Right.
And we turned to something else to binge watch for a while and moved on from, and I've not gone back. So I have all of that yet in front of me.
Well, and that's the thing. Bryan Cranston, I don't want to oversell it, but he's kind of a god. And you'll see that after you watch Breaking Bad.
It's a great performance. And, you know, it might bum you out at first. But as it goes on, it gets less cancer and more gangster.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the gangster, the cancer that really...
The gangster.
The cancer. It was Cranston, cancer. Yeah. It wasn't that that bummed me out. It was, the boiling of the body.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty early on.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
You just hate fun.
No, I mean...
I think that's it.
If that bums you out... You shouldn't watch
the show. You might want to jump ship.
Let me rephrase. It wasn't that I was bummed out by that. My wife was a little put off.
Was your four-year-old not into it?
By putting a body in, and I hope that's not too much of a spoiler.
No.
Putting a body into a bathtub. She was a little put off by that, and I think it was easier to start watching, binge-watching Mad Men.
We all learned a valuable lesson. If you're going to do that, make sure it's a porcelain tub and not fiberglass.
Exactly.
The more you know.
Right.
So now, did you guys hear the letter that Anthony Hopkins wrote to Bryan Cranston?
No.
Oh. Apparently, Anthony binge-watched the entire series in a weekend.
Oh, my God.
And he was so floored by what he saw. He wrote a letter to Bryan Cranston basically saying, it is about the greatest thing I have ever witnessed. From the acting to the way it was shot, to the scripts, to the story, the performances. Please tell everybody you made history.
Oh.
What? Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, that's coming from a knight.
I do agree. This must make me basically royalty too, because I do agree that it is one of the greatest things ever to be on a screen, be it big or small.
And you know what's happening, and I think Brett can confirm in that in the world of film in America, we have become the blockbuster country, and we're getting our ass kicked by other countries when it comes down to really good quality, well-written movies. And so a lot of these quality writers could not get work in the film industry, so they've moved over to television.
Yep.
I'll give you an example. The HBO series True Detective, one of the best written, acted, shot things it was like cocaine for me. I couldn't wait for the next episode. And Breaking Bad. We're benefiting by the fact that our film industry is not making the kind of films that these writers want to write, so they're moving over to TV because there's work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that the real auteurs, the real filmmakers, the real writers have mostly been in cable television. Not that I'm insulting the writers and directors and actors of the big blockbusters. I mean, you know, they're doing their thing and they have to fit a mandate within that system. But, you know, that system is just about making, spending a ton of money and then you got to make a ton back. And when you have to make that much money back, you're going to be scared to take risks.
Well, do you think it's a trust thing, though? Because HBO... figured it out. You know, Bravo, you know, A&E, some of these stations, they figured it out. So why wouldn't movies now follow their model instead of just digging their heels in and say, you know, if it doesn't fit in the, you know, 15 to 17 male demographic, we're not interested.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think that fear permeated even independent film, and now you have, like, these independent financiers who, you know, really, they want to be studio heads, you know, like Junior got daddy's money and is like, oh, I'm going to start my own Paramount Pictures,
well,
where, you know, the cable networks are like, come here and, right. and do your thing.
Well, here's something that'll blow your mind, not blow your mind, but I think you'll find interesting. This has happened before. Here in America in the 50s, every major studio was churning out Westerns. John Wayne, John Ford, whatever. They were making Western after Western after Western. And then they decided the well dried up, too many Westerns, and the film industry stopped making them. So all of those writers, directors, and actors who made their living in Western films in the 50s moved to television in the 60s. The very same guys that brought us movies like Stagecoach and El Dorado were the people behind Bonanza,
the Rifleman,
Gunsmoke. That's why they're so good. You're getting great writing from the people that used to make those in feature film.
Yeah. Wow. Bonanza and Gunsmoke, those ran for decades.
22 decades. Years for Bonanza.
Yeah, there's actually on PBS, this American Masters, they're showing a Gunsmoke series right now about how it's the longest running TV series in history when it comes to that genre.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Robots are taking over the world and nobody's safe. While that's not exactly true, a woman in South Korea believes it is after she was attacked by her robot vacuum.
Oh, no.
The 52-year-old bought one of those popular vacuums that kind of roll around the floor by itself.
Roomba.
She wanted to save herself some time and give herself one less household chore. But then she turned the vacuum on, and brilliantly, she decided to lay down on the floor and take a nap. There's the beginning of the mistake. The robot turned on her, vacuumed up her hair. Her head stuck to the machine. She made a desperate call to the fire department. They had to come and try to rescue her. Basically, they had to just rip the hair out.
That's awesome.
I mean,
by the way, this morning, I'm looking at Facebook, and I see, Gina, check this out. It's a cat in a shark outfit riding on a Roomba.
And I thought about a time machine. I was like, is it 2012 again?
I'm about to pee myself. And she's like, yeah, I saw that when I was 20.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I do want to add that I could not stop watching that.
It was awesome.
It's fantastic. Really, it's art is what it is.
It really is.
It is really the Breaking Bad of cat robot videos.
But, I mean, it was so, okay, first of all, you've got a cat riding a vacuum cleaner.
Right.
And then, in the brilliant wisdom of whoever did this, the cat is in a shark outfit.
Uh-huh.
And the cat is so docile, he's just sitting there.
The tail swishing back and forth behind it.
Absolute brilliance. I could not stop watching it.
It's comedy in layers.
Brett, do you get hypnotized by these cat videos and that kind of thing?
I love a good pet video. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. You know, it's life gets hard sometimes, and nothing zaps that depression out of your brain faster than a cat or a dog doing something that they wouldn't normally do.
Have you seen the video of the dog who's famous? He's asleep, and he's running in his sleep. And this dog, who that doesn't wake him up, he actually stands up, still asleep, and runs into the wall.
Head first.
No.
That woke him up. Yeah, that woke him up.
That is horrible.
Now, I'm dedicated to animal videos on YouTube, but here's my problem, and it's a serious problem, and I need help. I cannot get enough of fat women falling down.
Oh, Mark.
On you. I got to have it. It's the best. Well, just the absolute best.
In your defense, possibly, most of the time they're not just falling down. They're like, I think I'll get up on this very rickety table and sing a song. And then you know something terrible is going to happen.
I couldn't agree more, Mark. There is an obesity problem in America. And if that's the way that we need to bring attention to this, that's the way we got to do it.
My favorite is a wedding. There was a wedding in the backyard of a farm. And so the bride does the thing where she throws the bouquet. This one woman who is tipping probably 300 decides she's going to go for the bouquet. And she had to get a running start. She loses her balance and does a header into the barn wall.
Oh, no.
The absolute best for me. Sunday's Grammy Awards claimed an average of 25.3 million viewers, which is down 11% from last year to its lowest turnout since 2009. A potential factor was the return of television's top-rated show among young adults, The Walking Dead, and the premiere of Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul. Now, the number one year for the Grammys, and it's by far, was 2012, 39.9 million watched the Grammys, which was a record following the death of Whitney Houston.
Oh, right.
And speaking of Whitney, Kevin Costner was a guest on Jimmy Kimmel last week, and he was talking about the time that Stephen Hawking asked to meet him.
So he came, and I was obviously taken back at, you know, where he was in that wheelchair, wasn't able to move. I got him a drink, and most of it ended up on the floor. And I saw my children just a little bit shocked, and I said to them, "Look, if you want to go finish your homework, you can do that." And of course, they peeled off because I thought this isn't going to work for them. But yeah, he came over. You know?
Wow. What did he ever explain why specifically he wanted?
I was waiting for it, and finally said, "I'd like to know about Whitney Houston," and I said, "Well, okay, you're just like me. Let's get to it." And I said, "You're not the only one, Steve. A lot of people want to know about Whitney." I said, "What do you want to know?" And that was it. And they got in their van and they took off.
But, wow! Somebody should tell him about email. You could have covered that really quickly.
Well, how do we get to... because of the bodyguard tie-in there.
Yes.
Can I say something real quick?
He made him come over?
Mm-hmm.
He made him come over to him? That's his problem, man. Come on. Go to see the poor guy. He's in a wheelchair. He's done a lot. I mean, look, Kevin Costner's done a lot of good, a lot of great performances. I grew up with him, but come on. Don't make the paraplegic genius come to your house. What's going on?
By the way, Stephen Hawking is really, truly, apparently a frequenter of strip clubs. That's his thing. There's one.
Really?
Yes.
I like him even more.
There's one in California. I remember reading the story just a few months ago. There's one where I guess he comes, like, you know, several times a year.
Do we need to say allegedly, Andy? Is this smearing the poor man's...
Well, you're right. I don't know if he's listening.
I mean, were you at Cheetah's when he was there? Do you know this firsthand?
No, shut up.
Actually, he came to my house the other day.
Because you forced him to come
over. And he goes, "Have you done Mark in the Morning yet?"
Yeah.
I want to know about that. I'm like, "I haven't done it yet, but I'm doing it in a couple weeks."
He does the program. He does the program every morning on the Classic Rock Time Capsule. Mark?
It's time to open Andy's Classic Rock Time Capsule.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Who better to host, to introduce something about time than the man who wrote A Brief History of Time? He's a fan. He's a big fan of the program.
Well, you got to unwind, I guess, if you're, you know, it's pretty, intense.
Yeah, the string theory is exhausting.
You got to find some way to, unwind.
You can't be thinking of multiple dimensions all the time.
Right.
Well, Brett, we have had a fantastic time chatting with you. You're going to have... See, the problem is you come in, you're funny, and you bond, and now you're going to have to come back.
I know. I. It is a problem. You know, it's always a problem developing very close relationships. Because, that's it puts more emotionally at stake in life.
Right,
you know?
Right. Now, if you want to get more of Brett, and I just love this too much, Dinner with Family with Brett Gelman and Brett Gelman's family. It premieres this coming Friday night at 12:30 in the morning. So then it's actually Saturday morning, but don't screw it up. It's Friday night, but it'll debut. I'll stop talking. It is 12:30 on Adult Swim. So, Brett, honestly, make sure that you leave all your contact stuff with Dandy because we're going to have you back in here.
Oh, great.
So we can
Thank
come to
you
your
so
house
much.
And talk about Whitney Houston.
With Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
But before we go, now, Gina, I want you to do the legal ID and do it as Robin Quivers.
All right.
This is really too good, and that will lead us into Tom Petty. So, Andy, you hit Tom Petty as soon as she gives it to us.
Okay.
100.3, the sound is KSWD-FM and HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock.
That's amazing. What a great Robin Quivers impression. I love that.
Thanks for coming in, Brett.
Thank you, guys.
Mark in the Morning, 100.3, the sound. Good to have you. What's up? Now, with Valentine's just around the corner, and we'll discuss Valentine's momentarily, I've got the top four Valentine's songs of all time. Now, when I was researching this, there are so many different lists, and a lot of them make sense. This one kind of doesn't, which is why I was attracted to it. It's a little awkward, but now I'm telling you both that I don't want to hear about it when I get to number one, because I didn't write this list.
Okay. You might hear about it, but
no,
you just don't want to.
I'm not making any promises.
Okay.
And I'm going to add one for me, a song that I think is one of the great Valentine's Day songs, for lack of a better way to describe it. But here we go. Number four.
Now, these are the greatest Valentine's Day songs?
According to AllMusic.com.
All right.
Which has been around for a long time, and their research is painstaking. Sure. I have used their work in many of my Cool Stories in Music podcasts, okay. so I respected them.
If you read it on the internet, then I'm sure it's true.
All right, here we go. Number four, Gene Vincent.
Oh.
Where is it?
Yeah.
This is Unchained Melody.
Oh,
oh my love, my darling, I hope.
Andy's dancing, which is not good.
Swaying and snapping.
Yeah.
The white man's overbite.
Yep. It's really unattractive. I mean, really unattractive. Number three, Buddy Holly.
Heartbeat, why do you miss when my baby kisses me?
This is a great one.
And Andy's still dancing.
Yeah, now he's
kind of a salsa feel to this one.
Heartbeat, yeah. Why does
it's all in my hips, Mark.
I don't know what it is, but I just can't look at it anymore. Number two makes a little more sense.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots and come dance with me.
Hey there, cutes.
Are you guys Frank fans?
Sure.
Who isn't?
Yeah,
I just... Frank, you got a hole in your soul.
You know, I'm a fan of two phases of Frank. First of all, it was that 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm lonely in a bar.
Mm.
That was in the 50s. And then what I really love is this, the 60s with Nelson Riddle and that full orchestra. I love that. That plateau of Frank.
Is that sort of his Vegas era?
The Vegas era became like the 70s. But that's what he did when Frank performed in Vegas, which I never had a chance to see. But he would be with a full orchestra, chairman of the board, and I heard it was phenomenal.
I also like Phil Hartman's era of him, where he did him on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Here's a song by that Beatles guy. It looks like a chick.
That's too funny. All right, here we go. The number one greatest Valentine's Day song of all time.
Love me tender.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write the list.
Oh, you heard me thinking, shocker. Is that what happened there?
I can just feel somebody dampening and taking the sweat off his brow when he sings this.
This is from that 68 comeback special, As If You Care.
Love me tender.
Get it, King!
Love me true.
All right, now I'm going to add one, and then if you guys want to come back, and have one of yours, maybe somebody wants to call, and share your favorite Valentine's. To me, you can't have a Valentine's list without this one.
Darling, you
Sam Cooke.
Send me, I know you.
I was introduced, I hate to keep going back to Cool Stories and Music, but it's where I learned a lot of this. I did a Cool Stories where I took the night that Sam Cooke died, and I took you through the entire evening, hour by hour, where he was and how it happened. and there is a major conspiracy involved in his death.
And did you do it all in Keith Morrison's voice from Dateline?
Yes. Yes. How did you
know? Just a regular night at a hotel. Or was it? What was he doing down there?
At first I thought it was infatuation. But ooh, it's
you know, Keith Richards one time said, people measure themselves, if you're a singer, against Sam Cooke, and most of them go back to pumping gas.
And take you home. Whoa.
Oh.
You know, this actually reminds me, in a way, of my ultimate favorite Valentine song.
Ooh.
I gotta give it to Otis Redding, These Arms of Mine.
Say it, brother.
Oh,
well,
nice.
Danny can get them. Tell Danny your choices, and he'll get them and get them ready. We'll play those on the program.
Yes, Danny, hear that?
When we come back, Tom Brady is in serious financial trouble. We'll discuss. That's coming up next. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Now, I do this carefully. Danny, you back there?
Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, Danny, his head, he came near killing someone. Simple request. Danny, go get the songs, the favorite songs of the family members here, and it went awry. You okay now?
Well, that's not the reason why. It's just chick on the street, getting the guest up here, paying for parking for him because we don't have budget for parking. I'm going to kill a lot of people today. I don't know. That's not funny. That's, stay away from me today.
Oh, I keep going in there like an idiot. Can I help? No.
No, no.
Okay. Let's not waste time. Let's go to Rich. He is called from Riverside. Rich, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Really good. So the Valentine's Day song, what would be your go-to Valentine's Day song?
Number one's got to be Something by George Harrison.
Oh.
That's a really great choice.
Solid choice.
Something in the way she moves.
Mm.
Even Frank loved this song.
When I saw McCartney in concert, by the way, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life, he got to his George Harrison section, and he told us that George was a member of a 35-member ukulele club.
What?
And he always wrote his songs on ukulele. And he said, I remember where I was the day that George came in with his ukulele and he played Something for me. And then Paul proceeded to play the ukulele and sang Something. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Wow.
He used to carry them with him and give them away. He gave one to Tom Petty.
What? Wow.
Well, Rich, listen, very cool. Thanks for the call, my brother.
Anytime. Thanks, it's good to have you back. I want you to know you're a very lucky man to have the best talent in radio, Andy Chanley, working with you.
Andy Chanley is a hack.
The check will be in the mail, Richard. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rich.
I like that. I knew I liked him.
All right. So, Katie,
yes.
Where are you going? Your favorite Valentine's Day song?
I'm going to go Elvis. And I can't even remember the title of it right now.
Can you hum a few bars?
Oh, there it is. You guys want to see me cry? Kinda.
Yes.
Mm.
This is a gorgeous song.
When no one else can understand me.
Katie's transcended.
When everything
the apple does not roll fall from the tree.
You guys, shut up.
You give me hope and consolation. You give me strength to carry on.
Get it, Katie.
Oh. And you're always there. Lend a hand in everything I do.
I think she's going to make out with the microphone.
It's the wonder. It's the wonder of you, everybody.
So when we come back, we're going to hear Andy, Gina's song. Sarah is on the phone. And if we can do it, Hey, Danny, would it be okay if I asked a few more callers to call up with their song with the Danny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you good? Are you good? What, you all good now?
I'm...
Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3, The Sound. Welcome back in. Now, we're going to come back in a minute and share Gina's favorite Valentine's Day song, Andy's favorite, and some callers. And you can buzz us if you got one, 888-696-1003. Gina and I were chatting during the break. Your dad's favorite Valentine's Day song, Gina?
So I'll probably get disowned for this, but I'm assuming it's a joke, question mark? He just said, don't you want to hear my two favorites? Number one, I Kissed a Girl. Number two, Bear Down Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears. Nice.
This was never the way I planned.
So, Mr. Grad, you're welcome.
Do we want to talk about how smoking hot Katy Perry is, or are we not allowed to talk about that?
She is. She is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. All right, we'll get to it if we can. 888-696-1003, your favorite Valentine's Day song. Back right after this, but first, what do you say we dip into some Mr. Mellencamp on Southern California's Classic Rock, 100.3 The Sound. Mellencamp, The Sound. He and Meg Ryan still a thing?
I believe so. They were not for a while, but I think they're back in each other's good graces.
Right. We had him on the program. We were warned that he's a tough interview.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And he was a little chilly at the beginning, but we got him warmed up, and then it got pretty good. But, yeah, he can be a little tough.
He's a prickly bear.
I thought of that literally, and I imagined you, like, putting a blanket around him, giving him a sweater because he was chilly. Like, he was
hot
just,
cocoa.
He was a little cold. He just needed a little
cold. That was the problem, yeah.
Yeah, he needed a sweater.
All right, let's waste no time. Let's do the family first. Andy, your favorite Valentine's Day song, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Well, Sam Cooke is I mean, you took mine a little while earlier. Sam, there's just no comparison for Sam Cooke. It's like butter. So I thought maybe I'd just give you a guilty pleasure love song of mine.
That's right, I'm sad and blue.
Of course. It has to be something bizarre.
Last time, last can't do my
anybody?
Weird.
Huh? Anybody? Oh, yeah, it really is.
Pipkin.
Did you hear Katie?
I can't
hear
Katie. No.
This is weird.
It's weird.
Here's my actual guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure, good time Valentine's Day love song. I'm giving it to Sir Paul.
Oh, I see. So the first one was a joke.
With
and now we're really into the meat of it.
Yeah. Thank you for the play by the blow by blow.
You didn't get it.
How can you be in a bad mood when you hear that?
Yeah. And isn't that based on a comment that Lennon made?
It's so good. He doesn't get credit for his bass chops.
But isn't that based on a comment that Lennon made about McCartney's tunes?
Yes, about him making granny music. And writing silly love songs. So he wrote this and said, yeah, I don't care. And it was at number one.
Hit.
All right, Gina, where are you going?
All right, you know, I actually have a tie, and they're both Otis Redding because I am such a huge fan. I told you the first one, which is, I mean, I think a universally loved song, These Arms of Mine.
These arms of mine.
You kind of want to cry. You kind of want to dance.
Sway.
Oh, yeah. Andy's swaying again.
You kind of want to cry.
He sounds like he's almost about to cry, which is, it's just the best. Now, this rivals my other favorite Otis song, That's How Strong My Love Is. And this chorus kills me.
I go with love most everywhere. I'll be the moon.
I heard that Otis Redding's performance, I believe I'm correct in saying at the Monterey Pop Festival, was one of the greatest performances of all time.
Oh.
Because he had to follow the Stones.
I would give a finger and a toe for that.
Wow. Start slicing off body parts, things get weird.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Jackie, where are we going with you?
It's not the most lovey-dovey song, but Smokey Robinson, You've Really Got a Hold on Me.
Oh, great
one. For those of
one.
Us who would like to get a little mistreated and keep it interesting.
I love her.
A little firecracker in there.
Danny, I don't want to piss you off or nothing, but did you have a song that you, or no?
Well, I hate Valentine's Day. I mean, especially on a day like today. But, I don't really care for the love song, so.
Okay. I kind of thought that would be okay.
I mean,
you just didn't prepare anything, Danny?
Here.
He likes to Rickroll his candy on Valentine's Day.
You got Rickrolled.
That's good. All right. Let's take one phone call, then we'll do business, and we'll come back and finish with the callers, because there's quite a few. But let's go to Caesar. He's calling from the San Fernando Valley. Caesar, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Mark? Welcome back, man. I've missed
Thank you
all these years.
Thank you.
You know what? The best song I could come up with is Bread. I Want to Make It With You, which is a very, very good song. My opinion.
Now, Caesar, listen, I know that I asked you to call and tell us your favorite Valentine's Day song, but you realize you're on the air and you're a dude and you just said Bread?
Hey, you know what? Me, I'm a musician. I'm a singer. And that's one of my go-to songs if I want to warm up. Because
vocal-wise,
that's a now, great
did you
song,
say,
man.
Are you a singer?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Caesar, you're on the air. Give us some.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll sing one for you guys. Baby came with a woman's eye. I can feel you watching in the night. Follow with me.
I'm
waiting for the sunrise. And you feel cold, I want you. And when you feel you can't go on, I come in for you. It's you and me. Come share my smile. Won't you smile a while for me, Sarah? All right, that's it.
Woo! Oh, dude.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Caesar. Caesar, yes. I want you to give all of your contact information to Danny. You're going to come in. You might want to bring some musicians with you, or I can get them for you. You're going to sing a song for us whenever it's convenient for you.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And Caesar, I have a quick question for you. Caesar, are you a bigger Bob Seger fan or Mark Knopfler fan?
You know what? Believe it or not, I'm a David Ruffin fan.
Oh, okay. Get out of here, Caesar.
Yeah, check it out. All right, Caesar, that was awesome. We're going to find out a time you can come in and get that done. Thank you so much for calling, okay?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And wait, we're going to go to the booty box. Gina, what do we have for Caesar?
Well, that's why I was asking what kind of music he was into. But you know what? Let's just keep with the theme. $100 gift card to Burke Williams Day Spa for you, Caesar. You seem like you need to unwind a little bit after that beautiful ballad. Give the gift of true love with a spa package from Burke Williams. That's going to you, Caesar, okay?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much,
you got
guys.
It, babe.
I love you guys.
Caesar, we'll talk to you soon. Oh, thank you, Caesar. Great. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Larry, Sarah, Justin as to what their favorite song is. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound.
I'd like to make it with you.
Mark in the Morning, we have been discussing your favorite Valentine's Day songs. And, you know, I'm not really big myself on Valentine's. I think it is a chick holiday.
Well, it's a manufactured holiday.
We read what there's $15 billion generated.
Ooh, jeez.
Thank you, Russell Stovers and Hallmark.
Yes. During Valentine's. Katie, what are you and Daniel doing for Valentine's?
Like I said, I hate Valentine's Day. I think it's worthless, so I will be using my Maggiano's gift card that I got at Christmas, so I pay nothing. I will go at lunch to avoid anybody, because I don't want to mess with anybody and their stupid dates trying to get some after. I just don't care. I want to eat my food, and I want to go home, and I don't want to bother. I want a balloon. Daniel knows to get me the biggest balloon that he can find at Ralph's, and that's it.
Wow, you really are Mark Thompson's daughter.
I am. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. Somebody help me.
You know, look, the fact of the matter is, to go into a restaurant where people are packed, they're lined up, you're eating convention food, it is so unromantic to me and unsexy. It's the last thing I want to do.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Larry. Larry, what is your favorite Valentine's Day song, my friend?
Hey, I love you guys, but I got to tell you the truth. You've missed it. The winner of all winners is You Are So Beautiful to Me by Joe Cocker. Mm.
The late Joe Cocker.
That's my go-to.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Why do you live in Norwalk? Did you lose a bet?
Oh, my God.
No, I actually live in Diamond Bar, brother. I work in Norwalk.
I was driving through. Now, I don't know what it is. I was driving through Norwalk. I had to get to an appearance. And it was the worst smell that I had ever smelled. And then somebody called and said, it's because they have dairy farms. There's cows, thousands and thousands of cows. And that was what I was smelling, was cow butt.
I think it's oil now from all the oil fields. You know, I think you're smelling a residue in the air.
Well, listen, really great song, Larry. Thanks so much for the call.
And our apologies to the people of Norwalk.
Yeah, geez, Dad.
Send your cards and letters to Mark Thompson, care of Mark in the Morning.
After you finish with Andy and his hate of wrestlers and fat women.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Let's go to Sarah. She's calling from Long Beach. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm good. Doing pretty good.
She's just... All right. Good for you.
Okay. And so, Sarah, what song, and I like your choice, what is your favorite Valentine's Day song?
Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Finally, one I know.
Holding the boombox up over my head.
Yep.
One of the best moments of Say Anything.
Which I have never seen.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I haven't either. What, is that a movie?
Oh, Katie.
Yep.
One of the best 80s movies ever.
Wait, boombox, is that the
John
classic?
Cusack.
Okay.
John Cusack.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was busy in the 80s. I don't know if I saw a movie.
You were busy getting a perm on your hair. And I do not joke when I say that he permed his mullet.
Grooming your cop mustache.
I used to spend 6 hours at the hair salon getting my mullet.
It was party in the party in the back, business up front.
I cannot picture you doing that, Mark.
Oh. Well, I'll get a picture. You know.
Yeah, Katie, get a picture to Sam and get that up on markinthemorning.com.
Yeah.
That's got to be seen.
Yes,
Sarah,
does.
Excellent choice. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
You know what? Can we give Sarah a little something?
Yes.
All right, Sarah, I would just love to give you a pair of tickets to see Bob Seger at the Forum February 27th. Tickets are on sale now, but Sarah, you'll be there, okay?
Okay.
You got it, girl.
All right, now let's go to Justin, because Justin, this is one of my all-time favorite songs. I am so glad that you called. You're calling from Selmar, right?
Yeah.
How's life up there?
Nice. Weather's great. It's a little bit breezy, but, you know, it's Selmar.
All right. And how old are you, Justin, out of interest?
I am 42.
Okay, this is a really, really excellent choice. This is one of the most beautiful pieces of music I have ever heard. Shout it loud, my brother.
The Flamingos, I Only Have Eyes for You.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
Shwop, shwop.
Calm down, Andy.
I can't see anyone but you.
God.
Shwop, shwop.
Oh, I didn't actually
expect him to happen. Shabop, shabop. That's funny. Shabop,
shabop. Oh, Justin, that is so good. Are you a married man, Justin?
Sure am. 23 years.
Wow. You got any kids?
Yeah, I got two. One in college, one in high school.
Justin, would you not agree that having kids is an overrated practice?
I am sitting right here.
The best part of kids is making them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and my thing is, and Katie can back me up, in my opinion, if you can't entertain yourself by embarrassing your children at their expense and for your own entertainment, they are not worth having. Because the bottom line of it is, you have kids, and at the beginning, you like them. And then you try to raise them right, you teach them, and then when they get to be like Katie's age, you realize that you've just, all you've done is raised a simpleton who can barely read and speak. Yeah.
The disappointments of childhood.
Justin, the best to you, my friend. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening.
All right, thanks, Mark. Good to hear you.
Good, thank you. And lastly, let's wrap it up with Tony. Danny, did we get Tony's song?
I hope so. I hope this is the right song to the right guy.
Okay. So, Tony, you're calling from Menifee?
That's correct.
I'm sorry, where is that?
Menifee, it's out in the Inland Empire near Temecula. We like to refer to it as God's country.
Mm. You like it down there, then?
Gotta love it.
Okay. Now, your favorite Valentine's Day song?
The ultimate song, maybe the greatest song ever recorded, the ultimate go-to, Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye.
Oh, he did it. Closed it out strong.
I've been really trying.
Should have whipped out some sexual healing.
Oh, yeah, no one went that way. What's sexual healing?
It's a song amazing. By Marvin Gaye.
Oh, I thought this was something we were going to practice.
Well, it is.
We have to focus on getting it on right now, though.
But you need to hear it, Katie. It'll change your life.
Okay, when I got that feeling.
Tony, that is an excellent choice, and Gina said it correctly. You closed it out nice. Happy Valentine's Day. What are you doing for Valentine's Day, Tony?
I'm not doing a whole bunch of anything. Thanks.
You know, listen to some tunes.
You know what? I know it's not on Valentine's Day, my dear, but how about going to see Bob Seger on the 27th at the Forum? How does that sound?
That sounds outstanding.
You got it, my dear. Those tickets will be coming to you right away. Tickets are on sale now.
Well, Gina is. Thank you, Tony. Gina's on top of that booty box.
I'm feeling very generous today.
Yeah, you really are, and been passing them out strong, which I like. And now the listeners are going to start sucking up to you because they know you carry the booty. Speaking of Gina, what's trending out there, my girl?
All right, this is what's going on. We all know by now that Kanye almost wrecked Beck's Grammy acceptance speech for Record of the Year just because, once again, he thought Beyonce should have won. But is Beck mad? Not in the least. In fact, Beck was quoted in Us Weekly saying, "I was just so excited he was coming up. He deserves to be on stage as much as anybody. How many great records has he put out in the last 5 years, right?" And as far as Beyonce, Beck added, "I thought she was going to win too. Come on, she's Beyonce." Well, it's been a bad week in parenting for some people. At least two cases of moms and dads leaving their babies in the car while they did things that they found more entertaining, like shopping and drinking. One Connecticut mother put their two-week-old baby back in the car when she went into an adult novelty shop with her boyfriend, and they wouldn't allow children in the store. The car wasn't running, the temperature was freezing, but the baby is fine. The couple's jailed in lieu of a $25,000 bond and are being charged with the risk of injury to a minor and leaving a child unsupervised. Meanwhile, a D.C. couple was charged with second-degree cruelty last week after they left their two-year-old and two-and-a-half-year-old alone in a freezing car while they went wine tasting.
What? Never good.
Those parents are due in court this week, and the kids are in the care of protective services. Infamous murderer Charles Manson received a marriage license back in November so that
the... Wait. I've got a different bed for this.
Oh, yeah. He's very excited.
This is important, yeah.
So that the 80-year-old could marry a 27-year-old admirer named Star Burton, but Manson has let the marriage license lapse, probably because, according to the author of an upcoming book, Manson's girlfriend was planning to lay out his remains in a glass crypt after he dies.
Yeah.
Apparently, Manson thought this idea was stupid for two reasons. One, he doesn't appreciate being used or, quote, played for a fool. And my favorite reason, he thinks he's immortal, and so, therefore, there's no need for such a display.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Listen to this. Your body forgive me. Nice Queen, huh?
Oh, this is the song you were torturing me with this morning.
She wants to put his body in, have it lie in state and charge for people to come in and pay admission.
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm Gina Grad. That is what's trending on Mark in the Morning.
All right. So we're going to do a legal ID. Katie, you're going to do it. And this is going to take us to spot break. So, Katie, first of all, show her where the legal ID is.
Yep, right on top.
Okay, so
wait, you do the
legal ID, and then close it out with your Celine Dion, that little song you sing. So do the legal ID, and then close it out with Celine Dion, and then we'll go to spots.
I read this entire thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. and then I'm doing Celine?
Yeah, right at the end.
The song?
Oh.
Yeah, that one little piece you do.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. All right, here we go.
What were you doing?
I was trying to find what I'm reading. It's a lot.
All right, go ahead. And don't get me, it's always good that you bitch about it.
Well, I'm nervous now, okay?
No, there's nothing to be nervous about. This is only an FCC legal thing that you could go to jail for.
Do I include the picture in
No,
front?
Not the picture.
Okay, all right, so I'm going to go now. All right, you ready, guys?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes, read the picture.
Well, it says stuff.
All right, go, girl.
100.3, the sound is KSWD FM and HD1, Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock. 100.3, the sound.
Celine.
Oh, Celine. Oh, hi, I'm alive. Dad, I feel like you're the only one who finds that funny.
No,
I love it pretty hard.
No, it's so simple yet beautiful. We'll return momentarily. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3, the sound. Welcome in, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Andy Chanley, Gina Grad, and Uncle Joe is joining us. Joe, what we got up today for the 10 at 10?
1986, I was driving a Datsun, I think, at that time. I don't know, what were you driving? Did you have a driver's license in 86, Mark?
I did.
Okay, well, I'll be playing a song for you then. And the sound supported by Amco Transmissions and a whole lot more if your car isn't feeling right or a service light is on. Log on to AmcoSoCal.com for your nearest Amco Center location. That's the way we do it.
Did something crawl down your throat and die? Because, I mean, listen to that thing.
How you doing there, big boy?
Yeah, see, check it out. That's not right.
I got a Valentine's Day song for you.
It's like a sexy bullfrog.
So now, tomorrow, we had a glitch this morning with the technicals. Yeah, we did.
What?
And so Chick on the Street is back. The Mark is Back billboards are starting to pop up. So Chick on the Street. And we're going to be talking with the second most interesting man in the world. So be here for that.